mark your hymn books, please, at number 272. 272. Then written on 530. 530.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening thankful for this day that you've given us and for this time, Father, we've been able to gather together to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name, and to hear another message brought from your word. Father, we pray that all that we do has been done in truth and in spirit, giving you all glory and honor and praise that you so rightly deserve as our Creator and as our Father. Father, we are thankful for the life of your Son that he lived, for the example that he gave us. But above all, Father, as the sacrifice for us, that through him we can be reconciled back through you, through our repentance of our sins, that we can have that hope of eternal life. Father, we do ask that there's that you forgive us of those things that we've done wrong in error of your word, that you'd help us to see the error in our way, Father, if it's there, to help us to turn from it, Father, that we can walk on that straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. Father, we're mindful of those that are sick this evening. We pray that your hand will be upon them, and that if it be your will, Father, that you'd return them the better portions of their health. Father, we're mindful of those that serve in our country's military, especially, Father, those that we know that will be deploying soon. We pray for Noah as he will be deploying overseas. We pray for his safety as well as all those that are in those areas of conflict, and we pray, Father, for their safe return. Father, we're mindful of this country. We pray, Father, that you would help all the citizens here to look to each other with love and to take all the vitriol and the hate that's being spewed out there, Father, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, we're mindful of our government and those that represent us in it. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your wisdom in the laws that they make and the laws that they execute, that we can live as a country that's will live peacefully with each other and with those in the world. Father, we pray that you be with the one that will bring the message this evening. We pray that you'd give him the ready remembrance of those things that he's prepared, and that we will search out your truth, Father, and apply those things to our lives. Father, again, we're just so thankful for your Son, for his sacrifice, that he laid down his life, that it was his to give, Father, and he gave it for us, and through him we could have that hope of eternal life. And it's in his name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Good evening. Tonight I'd like to go through 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 4. First, I'd like to just read through the whole thing. And then for the couple of minutes that we have tonight, I'd like to go through it in just a little more detail. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. How encouraging is that? Looking back at verse 2, he says, be instant. And the New King James Version says, be ready in and out of season. And the fact that he said season here made me think about hunters, and specifically bow hunters. They train all year for the 1 week that they go out to go. And it requires that kind of training to be effective. So for us, though, the only way to be ready, like he's talking about here, is through consistent study and meditation of the Word of God and His will for us. As humans, our memories are not perfect, and neither are the actions we take because of that. And we never know who our light could be shining on at that time. And verse 2 as well, he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Let's read verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So, in the New King James Version, reprove, in the place of reprove, it says convince. And to rebuke, basically is to have the courage to say when something is wrong. And to exhort is basically to urge strongly, to urge someone strongly. But he doesn't stop there. He says, with all longsuffering and doctrine. This goes back to being consistent. It's a consistent task for us that we have, with no real expiration date while we're here on this earth. And obedience to the gospel is not something that can be forced. It takes consistency in the long suffering, and we may have some with someone, and in the doctrine that we preach and that we live. I'm starting in verse 3 here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It's easy for us as humans to gravitate to what is comfortable or what may sound best to us at the time. And there will always be teachers for that kind of thing, because there will always be followers. And we see that in the world in many examples. But he says that we are not to teach based on our desires, but in the sound doctrine that we've been given by God. And here at the end of verse 3, he says that they will... But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And I looked that up specifically because I wanted to know in this instance what that means. And the general consensus is that it is someone who seeks out messages and doctrine that confirms what they already want to believe. And so he's warning us about confirmation bias, and which is all too prevalent nowadays. But let's say, for example, you were debating with someone if coffee was good or bad for you. And you may think that it's probably not that great for you, honestly. So what you Google is negative effects of coffee. Well, what you're going to get is a whole slew of negative effects from coffee. And that's just going to reassure you that, yep, even more in your belief of that. And that can especially have a negative impact on what we believe about what the truth is, and for ourselves. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, distracted by a picture that they've painted for themselves, rather than what the truth in the Word is. But watch thou in all, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. This is what Paul did in service for so many years. And we are charged to do exactly the same. The afflictions that we face nowadays are not near as bad as what Paul went through and was going through at the time being in prison, as he was writing this this letter to Timothy. And it has never been easier for us with our resources and the technology that we have to do the work of an evangelist. But when he goes on to say, make full proof our ministry. And that can only be done with time and effort in our studies. There's no substitute for devoting that time to the study of the truth. The way of the gospel has to be ingrained in our lives and truly part of who we are and how we live. The absolute best way to convince someone of the truth is by living the example. Let's go to verse 6 here. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. It should be a goal of ours to be able to say this at the end of our lives. And specifically in verse 7, that's what brought me to this these verses specifically was this verse. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. We should be able to go with confidence to see the Lord. That is the goal. That's what we want to be able to do at the end of this life. And we're all capable of having that assurance. And that is thanks to the sacrifice of Christ. But that starts with a commitment. And that's a commitment to the Lord and to yourself, to be a child of God and a student of His Word. Paul accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and committed his life to the work. We're charged to do the same. If that's a commitment that you haven't made for yourself yet, we are not promised tomorrow. When your day comes, if you want to be able to say that you fought the good fight and you've kept the faith and you finished the course, then that road is open for you tonight. If you haven't started that path, I exhort you tonight to be baptized and to walk a new life in Christ. If we can help you with that or anything else, we please invite you to come forward as we stand together and sing.
Jesus the loving shepherd calleth thee now to come into the fold of safety where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the born of youth. Enter the fold of safety, enter the way of truth. Lovingly, tenderly calling is he. Wonder, wonder, come unto me.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day that we have had today. Thank you for everything that you have done for us and for everything that you have blessed us with. Please pray with those who are traveling or who will be traveling to reach their destination safely. Please be with those who are currently serving our country. Please be with our leaders as they're in office, and please help them to continue to make decisions that will allow us to continue to worship you freely without fear of persecution. Please be with those who are sick at this time to get better soon, so that they may be able to be back with us again at the next part of time, if it be your will. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. Please be with us the rest of this week as we continue to strive to serve you. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
my dad worked for my dad.